That's not the intent of the message, okay? All right? That's not what I'm looking for. Amen? What I'm looking for is victory. That's what we're looking for. That is what we're after. Amen? So go, shoo. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That I don't know. Have you ever been someplace and it's like you constantly get beat up? That's, boy, guys, that is not the intent of the heart today. Not at all. Not at all. So, hallelujah. And my wife, she said it was either last night or early this morning. She goes, boy, you're just wound up for tomorrow, aren't you? It was last night. Yeah. Because God's doing some things. He's showing me some things. And have you ever, you know, this morning was a classic example. Wow, that didn't happen by accident, I don't think. Remember when I asked him to turn the track light on and all of a sudden I could see? That's what's been going on inside of me. I could see to a degree, but God's like turned up the wattage. He's brought more illumination to a truth. And I'm excited about it because I'm having fun watching what this truth is doing. I'm having fun watching darkness that this truth is exposing. And you know what happens when a light gets turned on, don't you? Darkness can't stop it. I love that. And in the Gospel of John, the first 5 verses, it talks about, you know, the light, and Jesus is the light. And one translation says, and the darkness couldn't stop it. I just love that. There's only one time I know of that darkness was able to stop light. That was when God was dealing with the Egyptians and releasing the Israelites from bondage. And one of the plagues was darkness. And it was dark everywhere during the day, except in the Israelites' homes. That's the only time. And that's because God said so. But it's just a given. Light pushes darkness back. Praise God. Thank you, God, for your light. Thank you for just making things a little bit brighter. Thank you just causing things to show up. And here is, I want to repeat this phrase again, because this is what I've been teaching for about the last 3 Sundays, maybe 4 Sundays. This is the essence of it. This is what's going on. This is what we're doing. We're talking about the process that leads to an outward permanent change. And all those words are in that. We're talking about a process. That's what we're teaching these last weeks. A process. A process that leads to an outward. Well, if you got an outward, that means you got an inward. And see, the process begins on the inside. And then it leads to a permanent outward change. And I don't know about everybody in here, but I know about me. And in my life, there are areas in my life where I'm looking for an outward permanent change. Now, this outward permanent change can happen in a lot of ways. It can happen in the physical healing of a body. That just doesn't happen to be one I'm looking for right now. But do you know what? I have experienced that one. I have experienced an outward permanent change that began on the inside. Amen? Another thing. Anybody in here ever been caught in sin? You ever been caught in sin? You sin, you repent. You sin, you repent. You sin, you repent. And it might be the same sin over and over and over again. You sin, repent. You sin, you repent. You ever been caught in that? Nobody wants to put their hands up. So just turn around and look and point at somebody. I've been caught in it. I've been caught in it. And I thank God for 1 John 1:9. that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I've also caught myself praying this, God, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to come to you again and pull this verse of scripture out and ask for forgiveness again. I don't want to be here again, God. I'm thankful that I can, but I don't want to be. I've been there, and I don't like that spot. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his goodness. But guys, I don't like doing that. I want to overcome that. I want to overcome that. I want to live in victory. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Did you know he leads us in triumph over sin? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, the title of today's message is, and I'll read this because I know it's hard to read, but have you ever heard this? I just can't help it. Anybody ever heard that? Any parent in here ever had a child say that to you? It's usually right after they did something they know better than. And their response is, well, I just can't help it. What is your reaction when you hear somebody say that? Dorothy, I love your bluntness. With a firmness and a sternness, yes, you can. You know, you can. Amen. How many of us have tried to use that excuse? Well, I just can't help it. Can't sit in the cemetery. You know, you just think about it. I just can't help it. What is it? We're trying to justify something. We're trying to come up with a justification or not taking responsibility for our bad behavior. Amen? Now, did you know that the church world has phrases like this? They're not quite like this, but they kind of say the same thing. Have you ever heard this one? I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. What's the implication there? What's the belief there? What's the thought pattern there? And what are you going to do? I'm going to sin. I'm going to do it again because I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace, but I'm just an old sinner. So there's that thought pattern, that thinking, I'm just going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. How many of you know you don't have to do it again? Thank God. Glory to God. So, you know, a lot of people and a lot of Christians, this represents our mind, our thinking, it can represent our believing. You know, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. Too many people have that thought pattern when it comes to certain things. I just can't help it. Turn and look at somebody and say, oh, yes, you can. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, oh, yes, I can. And what we're talking about is we're talking about the process that leads to a permanent outward change. I don't know about you guys. Well, I'll bet I do. I'll bet there's a lot of you in here who have had a permanent outward change in multiple areas in your life. Praise God. Amen. And how about we just continue that in more areas? That permanent outward change. We're talking about the process. We're talking about how to do that. And I'm one of those kind of guys, I like to see things happen. I like to get things done. I like, well, if you do this, this happens. I just kind of like that. Because it's a way that I know I can have progress. It's a way that I know we can advance and we can move forward. You know, when people use that statement, I just can't help it. This is kind of some of what it contains. I have no authority. I have no say-so over the outcome. I am powerless to do anything else. It's inevitable, no matter what I do. That's what comes. That's the thinking. That's the mindset that comes along with that phrase, I just can't help it. You know, well, how many of you know we've been given authority? Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody gave me a coffee cup, and my wife has been having fun with this, extra fun with this, for about the last year. And I shouldn't even say it because it's been heard and said so many times, but how does Moses get his coffee in the morning? Yeah. So anyway, I love the coffee cup that I was given. He brews. I like coffee. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. And, you know, we're just going to happen to go to verse 23 and read about Moses. Hebrews. We'll start at 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Okay, first two things I want to talk about here in walking in victory, walking in holiness, is notice what Moses did here. And my first point this morning is this. We can overcome. Yes, we can help it. Yes, we have a choice. That's the first point. Because if somebody thinks, I just can't do anything about it, then Satan has already landed a blow. And it's been pretty doggone effective. Because the belief is, I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to do this again. If we know that that's not true, we can start to come against it. Because if you were convinced you couldn't do something, would you even try? Probably not. You know, it was kind of like this. I was with the three of the boys and David, and we're over at the gym and we're playing indoor soccer, and Isaac was there. So you got, now picture these three guys for those of you who know them. Isaac. So how tall is Isaac? Caleb. So how tall is Caleb? Vaughn. Gabe. Got those guys there. Then you got David, my son-in-law, and me. What was that? You be nice. And they're all, you know, jumping up and touching the rim. And some of them got a basketball in their hand, and they're dunking it. Isaac was the most successful, by the way. And they're dunking it. You know what I'm doing? No? Not dribbling or drooling. I'm standing watching. Now, my mindset and the way I am, I'm a bit competitive. But this is evidence of maturity taking place in my life, you guys. At 58 years old, there's evidence of maturity happening. I'm standing there with the realization that I can't. And I'm not even going to try. See? And if we believe we can't, we won't even try. Now, David, on the other hand, who I shouldn't pick on him like this, but that's okay. We have a bet going. He's probably going to win. But last year he worked for, yeah, we have a challenge going. That's a better word. Thank you. He worked for a pizza place, and he gained 40 pounds. And David's an athlete. Really good one, by the way. So David decides, I'm going to jump up there and touch that rim. He makes his attempt. Oh, man, he pulled a muscle. And I'm standing back there going, I'm so glad that I've matured a little bit. But just the whole point of that is, if you believe you can't, you won't even try. If you think you can't, if you believe you can't win, if you think, I just can't help it, you won't even try to help it. So the first point is this, yes, I can. I can help it. I can help it. I can overcome. Amen. And in here, did you notice Moses in verse 25? Choosing. Everybody say choosing. How many of you know there's a choice involved? There's a choice involved. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I wanted to back up to verse 24 and get a point out of that too. Refusing. These two verses of scripture, I love the fact that in there was two things he did. He refused and he chose. There were certain things he just refused. Nope, not going down that path. and then there were things that he chose. Okay, we have a choice. We have a choice in this whole deal. Head with me if you would. Now, keep a marker here in Hebrews, because I'm pretty sure we'll come back let me do this here. So, if somebody says that, I just can't help it. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And if they keep saying that out of their mouth, according to what Jesus said, what are they going to have? Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So if I believe, I just can't help it, and I keep saying that out of my mouth, according to what Jesus said, what's going to happen? I'm going to keep having what I say. Amen? Now, sometimes the confession truth, sometimes people who teach confession get teased, get made fun of, get laughed at, get, you know, just told how wrong they are. We get names like this, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. So is there anything wrong with me naming and claiming holiness? Would there be anything wrong with speaking and declaring victory over sin? No. No. So turn and look at somebody and say, I can overcome. And you might even just say this, I am an overcomer. Amen. Hallelujah. So, having said that, go with me, please. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. And I'm going to do something here this morning. First Peter chapter 1. Oh, that's why I'm having so much trouble. I don't have the Bible I want to have. I specifically wanted to use my other one today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Notice what it says. And I want to do something this morning. I want to use this as an illustration. How many of you know the last couple Sundays I've been talking about, we've went to the verse of Scripture like in James, where it talks about, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We've talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Been talking about that. We've been talking about, you know, dealing with stuff going on in thought life. This is that process that leads to a permanent outward change. And I want you to think about right now in your life where you want a permanent outward change. So what you have to do is you have to look in your mind and you have to go, okay, do I have some thinking in my mind that does not line up with the truth? And you might pray and ask God to talk to you. Do you have things in your mind that would fall in this category? I just can't help it. You know? Holy Spirit, talk to us all right now. Holy Spirit, talk to me right now. Talk to me right now, Holy Spirit. Because I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in triumph. And then let me just throw this out there because I'm thinking about it. God, are the things that you want me to do that I'm not doing? There's that side of it as well. See, I think there's some things that God wants me to be walking in. There's some things that he wants me to be doing, that I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm not doing. And I kind of conveniently set it to the side. How many of you know the Bible says, to him who knows the right thing to do and he doesn't do it, to him it is sin. You've heard this phrase probably. There's sins of commission and sins of omission. We just omit doing things, and as far as God's concerned, it's a sin. Amen? And then there's sins that we commit. I don't want any one of them. And thank God we can have victory over them. Thank God we can do, they have an inward work that leads to a permanent outward change where I act differently, I behave differently. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know for me, when I have a bad day, my thought is not, I need a beer. How many of you know that used to be my thinking? Okay, just to give you a picture of what I'm talking about here. Diane and I, we weren't Christians when we met each other. And I can remember we were going up to Crazy Horse for Christmas. And this was my thinking. In order to face that day, I need something. So I poured a shot and put it on the headboard. And before I even touched the floor with my feet, did a shot. How many of you know my thinking doesn't go there anymore? It led to a permanent outward change. Thank God. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. People, you know, who struggle with alcohol, I'm sorry for their struggle, but I'm thank you to God for the fact that he's delivered me. There's a whole bunch of other people that he's delivered also. I learned about confession, and one of the things I disliked about AA was, hi, my name's Joel, and I'm an alcoholic. I refused to confess that I was an alcoholic because God delivered me. He did. It's been about 34, 35 years, and I have no interest, none whatsoever. There's no temptation. Bad day, my thought doesn't go to having a shot. Happy day, huh, babe? Actually, happy days. Okay. So, look at this. This is what we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. It's just good to break that down a little bit. But as he... who called you? Well, who's that he? Jesus, God. Amen? But as he who called you is holy, well, how holy is he? Amen? He is holy, isn't he? You also be holy. How holy? As holy as he is. In all your conduct. Wow. Whew. Hey, guess who gets to set the standard? Guess who gets to set the bar? He does. Not me. And not the devil. I have some say-so in this, and I say, God, you set the standard, and that's where we're headed. And one of the things I do, my confession is, I am holy in all my conduct, as he who called me is holy. Now, would that really bother you? Would that be a bad thing to go around confessing? I am holy. I'm doing what the word says. I'm confessing what the word tells me to do. I am holy, as he who called me is holy in all my conduct. Let's see, where's the one I want? Babe, you might have to help me. Oh, come on, come on, come on. I know it's up here. Isn't it? First Peter? No. I'm looking for First Peter. That one didn't get up here. Well, that's okay. Well, can't use that one. Sorry. It's not doable. No, we can't do. We got a lot of other ones, all right. But what part of my confession is, and that's just part of what I want to share with you today, is part of my confessions. Part of the truth of God's word in being able to put in motion a process by which there is a permanent outward change. Just to catch on to that. And one of the things is by doing this, let me just grab another one. You could take in your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. Hey, Tay-Tay. Is she here? She went, oh, that's right. She wanted to help. So here's one of the things I do. I also do it with that. Be holy, as he who called you is holy in all your conduct. I catch myself. Yesterday I went out splitting wood for about 2 hours in the afternoon, cranked up the log splitter, and just started splitting wood. You know what I did for the first hour? I am holy as he who called me is holy in all my conduct. I am holy as he who called me is holy. In all my conduct, I am holy as he who called me is holy. What am I doing? I'm rewiring the brain. I'm letting that metamorphosis take place. I'm putting in motion a rewiring of the brain, a rethinking up here. Now my mind goes elsewhere. My mind doesn't go to the things that it does. Be holy, as he who called you is holy in all your conduct. I'm just saying that over and over and over again. Did you get to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17? Boy, you talk about a powerful verse of scripture, and I'm just taking part of that, and I'm putting that in my mind. For as he is, so also are we in this world. For as he is, so also are we in this world. And you back up a little bit farther, and you look at the beginning of it. It talks about love, and then it goes on to say, and on the judgment day, we have confidence. Amen. 1 John chapter, I hope I said verse, chapter 4, verse 17. I've been quoting the end of it, but if you read that, somebody want to read it out real loud. Got your Bible? You're opened up to that. Just read it out good and loud, bold, so everybody can hear it, the whole thing. Loud and proud, as Isaac would say. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Don't you love that? I love that thought. That we may have boldness. Everybody say boldness. Boldness. Another translation says confidence. Mm-hmm. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That's mind-blowing. Most Christians would never go there. But God did. God went there with his word. He said that, you know, on the day of judgment, you can have boldness. On the day of judgment, you can have confidence. Wow. Why? See, because there's a question. Well, how's that possible? The next word is because. Here's how. Because. As he is, so also are we when we get to heaven. I hope you caught that. As he is, so also are we. Where? When? Here and now. Amen? What am I doing? An inward process that's going to lead to an outward permanent change. My character, my conduct, my behavior has changed radically over the years. How about yours? Amen? This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Hallelujah. And you know what? I got another one. And someone says, well, yeah, but Pastor, that says the same thing. I know. I know it says the same thing. I just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. Now, if I had a glass up here with battery acid, and battery acid is clear, there's just a little bit of it in the bottom, and I poured a little bit of water in and offered anybody a drink, you wouldn't want the drink, would you? But what would happen if I kept pouring water in and it starts running over? And I just keep pouring more water in. What happens? So what's eventually going to be in that glass? Clear, drinkable water. If I keep speaking the truth of God's word over and over and over out of my mouth, what's going to happen to my mind? What's going to go on in my mind? What's going to take place in my mind? Here's a favorite one. Psalms 119. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden my word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, as I'm doing this, why don't you take and go to Colossians Colossians. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Anybody noticing what's happening? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I am holy as he who called me is holy in all of my conduct. I am holy as he who called me is holy in all of my conduct. I am holy as he who called me is holy in all of my conduct. I'm setting my mind on the things above, where my life is hidden with God in Christ. I'm setting my mind on the things above. Years ago when I was doing that, I got a little rap thing going with it. And I still want to slip, setting my mind on the things above, setting my, yeah, and I don't remember all of it, but it had quite a bit to it, and I want to slip into my rap, man. I should pass it on to my son-in-law, David, and then it would actually turn into something. But it just sticks with me. I'm setting my mind. Colossians chapter 3. You guys are all beating me there today, aren't you? Or maybe I didn't say chapter 3 yet. Colossians chapter 3. Go eat popcorn. I am just having trouble getting to the passages of scripture I want to today. But we're getting there. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, how many of you have been raised with Christ? Praise God. Praise God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. You know what I'm doing? I'm setting my mind on the truth of God's word. Setting my mind. See, it's going to take off. It's going to go. Man, you just got to watch it. I'm going to bust into rap. And my hair's going to get curly. It already is curly. Hey, I'm partway there. Oh, but yeah, I'm setting my mind. I'm setting my mind on the things above. Because as he is, so also in this world. Do you guys see what I'm doing? You guys catching what I'm doing? You guys getting in your heart? What's going on? This is the framework of my thinking and my believing. And my thinking and my believing used to be really messed up. How about yours? But as the years have been gone by, I've been taking God's word and putting it in my mind. And now my thinking doesn't go where it used to go. Doesn't do what it used to do. And what's happened as a result of it, I know I'm repeating myself again, but there's a permanent outward change. There's a character that's different than it used to be. Still a character, but different than it used to be. You know, Bob, he can remember, this is funny. Because when I first met Bob, I remember the day. It was over in front of the old A&K Market. How many of you remember the old A&K Market? Tom Hendrickson introduced us. And I cannot, and I will not, say any other words. There might be a few. But basically, was it 2 out of 3 words were cuss words? You don't remember? 50%? Yeah, he's being kind. But guys, that was just how I talked. Cuss words just came out of my mouth. That was my language. I didn't know any different. That's what was up here. When was the last time you heard me cuss? And then I could put it this way. How many of you in here have never heard me cuss? Would you raise those hands higher, please? Oh, yay! Now, can I tell you what? That didn't happen overnight. It didn't change overnight. I've shared this with you, but it just, you know, we have those embarrassing moments in life, but I'm a Christian, and I got two guys riding to the woods with me in the truck, and they know I'm a Christian. They know I go to church, and the one guy smokes cigarettes, and yeah, you're fine. You can smoke cigarettes. You got to roll the window down, and all the smoke's going outside, but no, you're not smoking any joint. You're not getting high on the way to work in my truck. No. And so one day we're out in the woods, and since they ride with me, we're all working close to each other, and I've got my strip up the hillside, and just right down here, another guy's got his, and right down here, another guy's got his. Now remember, they don't have trucks. So at lunchtime, they're outside. They're not inside a pickup listening to the radio. They're outside. They probably started a fire, and they're sitting there. And how many of you know on a cool day in the wintertime, voices can carry. Sound travels. Well, I had hung up probably the fourth or fifth tree for that morning, and I was just so frustrated with hanging trees. You're just not supposed to do it, right? Just cutters aren't supposed to hang up trees. I'm fighting, and I'm trying to twist this tree down and doing everything I can. And logging, you just can't cut chunks off the bottom to get the tree to fall down. You just can't do that. You got to leave them in length. And I'm so mad at this tree. My chainsaw's down, and I can't get it out, and I'm punching the tree. Okay. Not real good, but also words are flying out of my mouth. I'm cussing up a storm. And then I stop and I listen, and there are no chainsaws running. The two guys who are riding with me, guess what? They're hearing every word that's coming out of my mouth. How embarrassed do you think I was? Oh, gosh. Guess what? I'm so thankful. They didn't say anything when I picked them up. They were really nice to me. You know. But it's been years. Years. You know, just a change. Hallelujah. Did you get to Colossians? I'm going to wind this down and stuff. You getting anything out of this today? Colossians. I'm just going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture to look up. You get to look them up. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. Colossians, you're already here. 1 through 12, through 11, 1 through 11. And Colossians 3, 1 through 11, and then James 1, 13 through 21. And I want you to notice something in those three passages of Scripture. It talks about the mind being changed and the conduct of the individual being different. And the fact that it's said, you know, it's taught, and it's put in multiple letters, it tells me we ought to go get a hold of it. We ought to grab a hold of it. Here's another one of my favorite verses of Scripture when it comes to living holy. I reckon myself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I reckon myself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. What does the word reckon mean? Consider. So do you consider yourself to be dead to sin or an old sinner? I think about myself dead to sin but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. There's another one in Romans. See, I'm going to get excited. Romans chapter 11 verse 13. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You want no part of my confession? By the Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am putting death to death the deeds of the body. Therefore, I live with the Holy Spirit's help, and I let him take the lead. I hook up, and I agree with him, but I go with him, and he and I together put to death the deeds of the body. Therefore, I live. Do you know cancer can be a deed of the body? And you're putting it to death. Putting to death. Putting to death the deeds of the body. putting to death poor behavior, putting to death. Is this okay? Amen? Hallelujah. I challenge you just to take those and look them up and put that process in motion. Romans chapter 8, 5. You could go down through 13. Romans 8, 5 down through 13. Romans chapter 6. Oh, I'll stop. I'll quit giving you scripture. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many of you looking forward to walking in greater and greater holiness? Amen. You know, I really want you to do something. What happened to, I just can't help it? It's gone. And what's it been replaced with? The truth of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. And I'm going to do this. We're just going to end it right here, babe. Worship team doesn't even need to come up. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know him. You met him. He forgave you of your sin. Amen. Looking around again. I think I pretty much know everyone in here. Everybody's put their hand up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to do this. You might, you know, lots of times we come up, almost every Sunday we come up here for prayer and we lay hands on people and pray for people. If you have something you want prayed about, when you go downstairs for fellowship this morning, so that means you are going downstairs for fellowship this morning. Amen. When, you know, you could make it downstairs for fellowship. You're sitting around at a table, you're with somebody, say, hey, would you please pray for me? Would you please stand with me in this? Amen? So, let's pray. Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you that each and every person in this place raised a hand and said, yes, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father God, for that. And I thank you, Father God, that through Jesus Christ, we have victory. He has made us more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says, God. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. He always leads us into triumph and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Father, then I just speak and declare that we are holy as he who called us is holy in all of our conduct. As he is, so also are we in this world. We consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto you in Christ Jesus. We set our minds on the things above where Christ is seated, not on the things of this earth, because our life is hidden with Christ. We thank you, Father God, that we have hidden your word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word, Father God. Just thank you. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. And then thank you for victory over sin. And thank you for causing us to have a conduct that is holy and just and right. And by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. Therefore, we live. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, just bless the food, bless the fellowship, our time together. Your loving goodness just surround each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, with that, go ahead, stand up, greet two or three people on your way downstairs. Amen.